I was raped twice, but I was raped twice by two men on the same night, one after the other. And I've lived with that for 46 years. I still live with it. I have terror every day. I can't get it out of my mind. I hate nights. I can't sleep. But I still suffer. I can't forget. And I'm 60, nearly 62.
Take that in. It's pretty confronting, isn't it? It's the voice of Graham Pilley. He's talking about enduring shocking abuse at the West Australian Naval Base, HMAS Leeuwin, in 1968. His story is just one of many, many that have come out in a major report that paints a really grim picture of abuse and neglect at HMAS Leeuwin over a period of 30 years. And joining me now is the chair of the Defence Abuse Response Task Force, Len Roberts-Smith. Len, thank you very much for joining us today. We just heard the brief testimony there from Graham Pilley. What other sorts of abuse did the report find?
Yes, thank you. Well, look, we found quite a range of abuse within HMAS Leeuwin. It was mostly physical in the sense of it didn't usually include things like workplace harassment, bullying and that sort of stuff, although obviously bullying was part of the process. But and we found a lot of that sort of thing elsewhere as well. But the most common forms of abuse were physical abuse, such as being made to run the gauntlet of other recruits lined up down corridors, and as you ran down, you were being bashed by the other junior recruits who had pillowcases full of boots or rocks or bottles and all sorts of things. There were allegations which we found to be true. We accepted them as true, of being grabbed by a number, five or six other recruits or people in the middle of the night out of your bed with a blanket thrown over your head so you didn't necessarily know who they were, dragged away, stripped, and had things like broom handles stuck up your anus forcefully, which obviously caused tremendous pain. We had cases, and they're not all mutually exclusive. Some of these things happened together. We had cases of individuals being, and when I say individuals here in Leeuwin, we're talking about young boys. We're not talking about men. We're talking about boys generally around 15 to 17 years of age being held down by groups of others and scrubbed with steel wool and the hard bristle brooms till their backs bled, having industrial dry cleaners hoses attached to their genitals and turned on. We've had all sorts of sexual allegations and sexual abuse where there were predators involved. This wasn't just recruits, it was also members of staff who made a point of inspecting or looking at the junior recruits in the showers and touching their genitals and fondling them and then wanting them to give them anal sex and oral sex and all sorts of things. And it was just horrific.
I mean, this is well beyond anything that, you can't even begin to conceive of it as being in the territory of, people pranking each other. This is high order stuff, of the highest order.
It is.
And what you're describing here is not just young recruits either. We're talking about staff being involved in this.
Yes. Yeah, the fact of the matter is that we received approximately 240 complainants from HMAS Leeuwin claiming abuse there. Of that, we've assessed probably around 207 and found that their accounts are plausible, which means we accept them as true. And what we found there was 63% of those were abused by fellow junior recruits and 36% over the course of the time frame we're talking about, which was early 1960s to 1984, 36% of abuse was actually perpetrated by the staff at HMAS Lewin.
Now, how does that happen? What's going on there where you've got staff being involved in this? What does that say about the culture of the place?
Well, exactly. It says a terrible thing about the culture of the place. And as I said, this started in the early 1960s when HMAS Lewin, which was a shore base, of course, it's not a ship, although they maybe refer to them as ships, it was a shore base, training base. These recruits went in from 13 years and upwards. What it says about it is that there was a complete lack of responsibility and care, and in fact it started with the staff. That was one of the things that came out of our report when we looked at these 200 plus.
Well, why does that happen? Why does it start with the staff?
Well, that's a very good question, I'm not sure quite what the answer to that is, actually. I think we've got to go back and look at that more closely, or defence does. I think the community does. I mean, we're talking, this relates also, I think, to things that were happening around the same time or earlier or after, which is being experienced by the Royal Commission into Institutional Abuse against Children. I mean, I think many of the same factors are probably likely to be operating there. What I'm saying, though, is that when we've looked at these complaints, what we found was it actually did start with the staff, many members of the staff abusing the junior recruits. And what happened after that, of course, was that the junior recruits, not surprisingly, took that sort of conduct or behaviour on and started to perpetrate it themselves.
Right, so the abused becomes the abuser, which is not an uncommon story. Explain why, I mean, you found 207 cases that you've accepted as true here.
Yeah.
Only two referred to police. Is that why?
Well, you know, first of all, we're talking about cases that go back, as I said, to the 1960s and the latest in, say, 1982 or thereabouts. So we're talking about men now in their mid to late 60s at least. So, and many of them have never told anybody about this before. They never reported at the time. Some did, but they were a small minority.
My question is why? Why wouldn't you tell the police about this?
Why wouldn't we, or why wouldn't they?
Why wouldn't they?
Well, for all the same reasons that people don't tell the police in ordinary civil society. Sexual assaults are possibly the most notoriously underreported crimes of all.
To that level, though, we're talking about 1% of cases that you've looked at least being reported. Would that be less reported than in normal society?
No, wait a minute. We're talking about 1% we have passed on to the police.
Right, okay.
Now, what I'm getting at here is that most of the victims, whether they're our complainants or victims ordinarily, tend not to complain to the police about sexual assaults. Sexual assaults in the wider community, which are reported, represent possibly significantly less than 20% of the actual sexual assaults that are committed. I mean, that's an ordinarily recognised statistic, if you like. And so nothing's different here. But there are, in that respect, but there are additional circumstances here, of course, because we're talking about very young boys in a very hierarchical and disciplined environment who have no recourse other than to go to their superiors. And in many instances, as I said, almost 40% of the instances, the very people who were abusing them were their superiors. There was nowhere else to go. And we've given examples of their stories in the report that was tabled by the minister today, for example, where one of our complainants who suffered very serious injuries was sexually assaulted and so forth, actually went to the nurse at the infirmary at HMAS Lewin, who told him not to report it, or said that he had the choice of reporting it, but that if he did, it would be very bad for him. And and I won't go into the details of that, but it's all in the report. And that
These dynamics that you described, are they still at play? Is this still going on?
Well, certainly we would like to think it's certainly nothing like it was at that time, and I think that's correct. It's certainly the fact that in recent years the senior leadership in defence have been very alive to the sorts of issues we're talking about. There have, in fact, been something like 16 inquiries into this over recent years, which is one of the reasons the Minister, when he established the task force, said we were not to be just another Royal Commission or another inquiry. The point was we were to receive the complaints, the allegations of people who'd been abused in these circumstances, not just Lewin, of course, but to work with them, in consultation with them, to deliver particular outcomes, some kind of resolution for their individual cases, which ordinarily, of course, Royal Commissions don't do.
Mm. So what happens now, though?
With what?
Well, we've got these findings.
Yes, well, I guess the first point I'd make about that is this report on Lewin, which is in a sense almost a byproduct of us dealing with the 207 cases that we've been talking about here. I mean, so that's the first thing, is we're dealing with those 207 men, because they are all men, to provide particular outcomes to them, whether it's reparation payments or counselling or restorative engagement program that we've now established with Defence, which is a very huge and significant program. But we've also, as I say, have provided this report, which comes out of their accounts. One of the main things that people in this situation who've experienced abuse like this want, they want other people, to know what happened to them. They want Defence to know, they want the government to know, they want the community to know, but they don't necessarily want to be identified themselves.
Right.
The vast majority of them, in fact, have never told anybody until they came to the task force.
Yeah.
They've never told their families.
It doesn't surprise me. And now it's certainly on the record. And thank you very much for speaking to us today, Len. I appreciate it.
Thanks, Warren.
Len Robert-Smith, Chair of the Defence Abuse Response Task Force. Wow.